C147263.
Can Iowa State sustain its success, and can Iowa turn its season around? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
We're a better football team when we can run the ball efficiently. It's always been that way, and that is our plan. We'll continue to do our plans. We'll make try to do a better job there. Now we're going to do a little bit better job making plays that are makeable.
And that's just the beginning. Welcome in a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. 4:07 on October 23rd. Halloween is much like Christmas, right around the corner. Todd Brommelkamp alongside Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, our producer, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. And boy, where do we start? John Walters, play-by-play voice of the top 25 ranked Iowa State Cyclones, joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget, during that segment, we're going to have a pair of tickets to this weekend's homecoming contest against TCU that we'll be providing a lucky listener. Big thanks going out to Craig Adamson, our sponsor for the John Walters segment. He's providing us with those tickets, and they're still available for purchase. I know Jamie Pollard was tweeting about that earlier today. They want a sellout at Jack Trice Stadium for a big showdown with TCU this weekend. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is going to kick off the 5 o'clock hour with us. Mark and I were both at Ryan Field in Evanston, Illinois over the weekend as Iowa fell to Northwestern 17-10. We'll try to put it in perspective, and where do the Hawkeyes go from here? Plenty of talk about Iowa State, Iowa coming up. We'll even hit on some baseball today, some managerial hires, some coaching news. The carousel has begun to turn, and the Cubs coaching staff has lost a couple pieces within the last few days. We'll even take a look around the Big Ten. Boy, did Purdue step in it over the week. Everybody's been talking about Jeff Brohm and Purdue and how great they're coach of the year, Big Ten coach of the year. How do you lose that game?
All of a sudden, they're 3-4, and they have lost to Rutgers. The wind went out of their sails pretty quickly.
Minnesota, which plays Iowa this weekend, a winner against Illinois. It was 24-17. Illinois scored late. Otherwise, the margin of error would have been a little bit wider there. But that's going to be an interesting game now for a number of reasons. And this is, I want to be on the record here as saying I'm not looking forward to today. This is a no-win situation today because you're in eastern Iowa and you've got a ton of people that want to talk about Iowa and Northwestern. And if you lead with Iowa State in the top 25, which is a big story, then I think you're doing a disservice to a majority of the listeners. And if you lead with Iowa Northwestern, then you get people coming at you from the Iowa State perspective saying that you're not giving the Cyclones any respect. So I have thought now for the better part of a day and a half, because believe me, it did consume a portion of my Sunday, how do you approach this and try to keep everybody happy? But you've got to talk about Iowa and Northwestern, right?
Absolutely.
Because that's a game, they had 2 weeks to prepare for that game, and they look absolutely terrible and uninspired. They're not running the ball. You heard Kirk Ferentz in the open to the program talking about they're a much better team when they can run the ball consistently. This is a team in Northwestern where the last couple times they've gotten together with Iowa, the Hawkeyes have run all over them. And Akram Wadley is your leading rusher with 90 yards on 26 carries last Saturday.
They're 13th in the Big Ten right now in yards per carry. Above any other stat, that's telling as to where this football team is right now. They came into the year, we're going to run the ball, we're going to run the ball, we're going to run the ball. And I know that losing James Butler was a little bit of a hit, but it's not an excuse for being one of the worst rushing offenses in the Big Ten. The question is it a chicken or the egg type situation? Can they not run the ball because they can't throw the ball? Or can they not throw the ball because they haven't been able to set up the run. I don't know the answer to that right now, but I do know that this offensive output, while a little bit better than last year, is not going to win you many games. And it really, really struggled against a Northwestern team, like you said, that they've been able to, at least last year, when they lost to Northwestern, the offense was not the problem. They scored 31 points. The offense was completely the problem on Saturday.
BJ and Marion using the Hertine and Stocker text line to suggest that we just talk about the Houston Astros heading to the World Series. And, you know, there. And then just alienate everybody, except for the handful of Astros fans that might be. Look, I don't know. I've never watched an Iowa football game in the last probably 5 to 6 years and been more perplexed with what I saw than Saturday in Evanston. And you've got 65-70% of the stands black and gold. And 2 weeks to prepare for the game. Now, they were without Brandon Snyder and without Josie Jewell, and you lose Josie Jewell, that's a huge blow. But the defense didn't cost them that game. They only gave up 10 points in regulation. So the fact that they were without Jewell and without Snyder, I guess it's convenient. You can, if you want to hang your hat on that particular peg, you can go ahead and do it. But really, I don't like labeling things, but that loss to me seems inexcusable at this point. And it's one that on Friday I said I was leaning with Northwestern winning the game. But what I was expecting to see on Saturday and what I actually witnessed, two very, very different things. 319-366-1600. It's the number to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. You can also use that as the Hertine and Stocker text line. Again, busy day. We will talk Iowa State coming up bottom of the hour, John Walters, and then we'll take a little bit deeper dive into the rising star of Cyclones head coach Matt Campbell. It's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. How much longer will Matt Campbell be coaching in Ames? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. And the texters right now are backing up what I just said. The defense has been not the issue. For lack of a better way to phrase that, the defense is, if I gave you a legal pad and a pen and I said, give me the top 20 things that are hindering the Iowa football team up to this point in the season, does the defense even make the top 20?
No.
So
no, it doesn't.
Exactly. And look, if we're driving, Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation was riding with me on Saturday, and we're driving over, and all of a sudden, he's on his phone next to me, and it's, okay, point spread's moving, Vegas must know something, and then, okay, it's Brandon Snyder's not playing, and then Jewell's not playing, and there seems to be a little bit of question about the timeline on the injuries, at least with one of the players, which I don't want to necessarily go down that road. Maybe Kirk Ferentz will explain things a little bit further tomorrow when he meets with the media. But he said Brandon Snyder was basically a hindrance from the Illinois game 2 weeks ago, and the same with Josie Jewell. And look, maybe it turns out it's a bad idea to come back in 6 months from an ACL injury, which is really unfortunate. This time it sounds like it's an MCL sprain, same knee. I don't know what you do with it. That's just, it's terrible news all around. And then Jewell is a shoulder injury, and you hope to see him back sooner rather than later. James Butler, look, James Butler makes the trip and dresses, but you know he's not going to play.
Same with Josie Jewell, by the way.
Same with Jewell, and you only travel so many guys on the road. And it just, I don't know. It's to the point where there's a lot of stuff going on that I think people have every right to question. And then adding insult to injury, and I'm metaphorically speaking, Iowa fans have to read all about Iowa State now suddenly in the top 25. And I've said this, look, you can rewind the audio and go back a couple years. I've always said Matt Campbell was a dangerous hire, and that if he gets things going at Iowa State, then that's a game changer. Said the same thing about P.J. Fleck at Minnesota. Jury is still out. We'll see P.J. up close and personal Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium. But Matt Campbell is on the right track. And now it's a matter of can Iowa State sustain that success?
It'll be interesting to see, and I'm sure we're going to get into that a little bit later. But I think your point about the defense is right on point. There's been a lot of complaining about the defense so far during the Big Ten season. And some of it's justified, but I just look at the bottom line. Defense in Big Ten play is giving up less than 18 points per game, and this team is 1-3. That just tells you what the offense has looked like pretty much in every other game except for the Iowa State game. I thought the Iowa State game gave a glimmer of hope for people expecting the offense to look a lot better in 2017. And since then, there's been not much to write home about with the offensive production. And since there a couple of big plays against Penn State, Michigan State, there were a couple of big plays. Illinois, they pulled away late. But 10 points, scoring 10 points is not going to win you many games. And there just doesn't... I got the sense when they ran the double reverse late in the third quarter to Amir Smith-Marset that Brian Ferentz just
Didn't work.
It didn't work at all. It was sort of the, man, I'm out of ideas. Nothing's working. Let's try something completely off the wall. And that didn't work, and you just thought, what is going to work? And the answer on Saturday was nothing. Nothing worked, except for the first two drives where they went on 12 and 11 play drives respectively, got 0 points. That went a long way in deciding the Iowa Hawkeyes' fate on Saturday.
66-57 on the Hurtin and Stocker text line. Patience is the name of the game for this Iowa squad. Lots of youth, growing pains. Program is on solid ground. No offense, it's October 23rd. Patience is a card that usually gets dealt sometime in September from the deck. Say week three. Week three is a great time for fans to play the patience card. We're in the middle of the Big Ten schedule here. They are coming off a bye week. They had two. That was the game plan that they dialed up after having 2 weeks to prepare for a Northwestern team that most people would agree has been a little bit of a letdown this year.
Yes.
That's not a Northwestern team that's battling for the upper echelon of the Big Ten West. And they just looked uninspired, and they're making mistakes that the offensive line was bordering on disaster at times. They had the Racinos field goal winds up being 5 yards longer, the field goal that essentially ties the game and forces the overtime period. The Racinos field goal winds up being 5 yards longer because of a false start on the offensive line. It was 4th and 2, right? And
yes.
Then you had the movement. So it winds up having to be a 48-yard field goal. And Racinos, he said afterwards, with the wind, he thought 55 yards and in. He was pretty comfortable, and there was plenty of distance on that kick. And then the sad part about this is a lot of people are going to point to Noah Fant dropping that ball, which it's been a long time since I felt worse for an individual player than I did for Fant on Saturday. And look, he's open. He dropped it. Stanley threw that thing at about 110 miles an hour. I mean, okay, so it's on the receiver, it's on the quarterback, it's on everybody at that point. I will say I liked how the Iowa players talked afterwards about making sure that Noah Fant knew that this was not on him, and Kirk Ferentz came out and said, look, one play did not lose that game. So from that standpoint, it's just that was indicative of that entire game. The dropped pass, wide open dropped pass, first down would have at least extended the overtime period, and maybe you tie the game up and go to double overtime. 319-366-1600. The text line now is taking the patience ball and running with it. If you want to be the it's all about patience with this team crowd, then just write off the remainder of the season, because if you're still playing patience 7 games into the year, then you're going to be trying to play it in November too. And that just doesn't jive with me.
And what about, and I'm legitimately asking the patience crowd, what about the young players and the roster as it's constructed without some of the leaders on this team like Akram Wadley and Josie Jewell has you excited for the future? That is an honest question right now, because you look at the core of this team, the best players on this team, they're seniors. So that's what 3664 is saying on the text line. Patience, Iowa loses most of the defense next year. All of the linebackers. Next year is going to be even more of a challenge. So I think that's a very good point.
Rob Howe was reading me text messages and message board posts on part of the drive home, and one of them was question for the media. And these are always my favorite, because when Iowa loses, there tends to be a segment of the fan base that channels their anger toward us. And it was somebody saying that they want somebody tomorrow at Kirk Ferentz's weekly news conference to look Kirk straight in the eye and ask him if he thinks his son Brian is a good offensive coordinator and a good play caller. Yeah, I would bet the mortgage to my house that that's not going to be asked in that manner tomorrow. Will he be asked questions about certain aspects with the game plan and on the offenses? Yes. But you're not going to get anybody. Remember when the idiot threw the shoe at President Bush in Iraq? That's what some people want out of the people who cover the Iowa football. They just want someone to come in there, fire and brimstone. Ain't happening. 319-366-16. Let's squeeze in a couple calls. There's Brandon in Cedar Rapids first. Brandon, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. First of all, if I could give you a ding there, Todd, I would give you a ding for saying it's October 23rd. Patience. There is no patience. But anyways, we had enough patience through the off season, through the first five games. I mean, we thought this was going to be, you know, something new, something fresh, something different with Brian calling the plays. I liked what we saw in the Iowa State game. It was exciting. It was a little bit different plays. And then after the Iowa State game, it kind of went to same old Iowa. And everyone knows same old Iowa, and it's just, it isn't cutting it.
Appreciate the phone call, Brandon. You know what it really reminds me? I like Warren Zevon, and there's a Warren Zevon song that comes to mind called Excitable Boy. And that's, to me, the patience crowd here. Is it just reminds me of that song. It's okay, no. It's just, you need patience. You need patience. If you know the song, you know what I'm getting at here. Phil in Iowa City, up next with us, 366-1600. Phil, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to comment basically about how it always seems Iowa never has a complete team. Whether that be we have a great senior line, senior quarterback with a young secondary and no receivers. And then we have a great linebacking core with two freshman tackles on offense, a sophomore quarterback, and then a starting senior tailback, two of them actually, and then we lose one, and it's like no one else can run the ball. So it just seems like no matter what we do at Iowa, like we can't have patience. We're going to have good young kids, but we're always going to seem to like never have seniors all the way around, you know, and then sometimes have freshmen.
Well, and I, Phil, appreciate the phone call as always. It goes back to Iowa being a developmental program, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you always have to be preaching patience and you always have to be developing talent. There can be that happy medium. And, you know, the offensive line, somebody on the text line is saying that the offensive line is decimated at this point. It's not decimated.
There are injuries on the offensive line.
An injury or two.
Right.
But you're a Big Ten football, you're a Power Five program.
Those happen.
Depth. It comes down to depth. And remember, this offensive line won the Joe Moore Award last year as the best in the country and suffered, I would say, minimal losses off of that. Everybody was expecting it to be one of the strengths coming into the season. And instead, they can't get the running game going. And you look at Iowa football under Kirk Ferentz, you have to have a good, strong ground game in order for that air attack and I use attack in air quotes, to have any modicum of success. It's 4:26, so step aside and take a quick break. Kyle's going to come in here. We'll get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Iowa State fans, we're going to give you plenty of love today. Trust me on this. We appreciate your patience because, quite frankly, it's a better story right now. And it's hard for a lot of people in Eastern Iowa to hear. I understand that. 319-366-1600. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the top 25-ranked Iowa State Cyclones, set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, we go back to the phone lines. Let's keep it here in Cedar Rapids, bring Don on. Don, I hate to do this to you, but you've got about 30 seconds. What's up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
I feel that the Cyclones are going to continue success. They're going to have a heck of a game against TCU. The big anomaly this year for the Cyclones was their quarterback play with Park. Once they righted that, I think that the sky's the limit for the Cyclones. I will not be too surprised if they are playing for the Big 12 championship, if they get by TCU.
Appreciate the phone call, Don. It is a big if at this point, but hey, I wouldn't write off anything when it comes to Matt Campbell and the Cyclones after they went down to Norman and won that game at Oklahoma and then did what they needed to. That was an impressive win. I mean, it wasn't like they squeaked past Texas Tech on Saturday. Send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Cyclones have won three in a row after a 31-13 victory over Texas Tech this weekend. They moved to 5-2 on the season and 3-1 in the Big 12 and now find themselves ranked 25th in the country, giving them their first appearance in the AP poll since 2005. They'll have an opportunity to make a huge statement this weekend at home hosting number 4 TCU. And Cyclone linebacker Marcel Spears was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for his play in Saturday's win. The redshirt freshman had 7 tackles and a pick 6. The Iowa women's basketball team held its media day in Iowa City today, the first day of Big Ten Women's Basketball Week, and junior forward Megan Gustafson was named to the preseason all-conference team by both the coaches and the media. Gustafson averaged 18 points and 10 rebounds on her way to breaking single-season records for rebounding and double-doubles, and also became just the fourth player in program history to score 600 points or more. It was announced today that the UNI men's basketball team will be traveling to Madison on November 1st to take on Wisconsin in an exhibition game for hurricane relief. The game will be free admission into the Kohl Center, instead encouraging fans to make small donations to Team Rubicon. Tonight after the show, I'm sure we're going to have some awfully excited fans on the Cyclone call-in show. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And we'll also have Monday Night Football with the Eagles hosting the Redskins on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. John Walters is next.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Six rows down to the scores table and landed right on Ron's chest. I went to grab Ron. Another guy throws a beer in Ron's face, and he just happened to be on the same row with me. Bad decision. Hit him probably with the hardest punch I've ever hit anybody with in my life.
The Ryan Russillo Show, weekdays at 1 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. At this hour, Suns GM Ryan McDonough told reporters Eric Bledsoe has likely played his last game with the team. Bledsoe sent home today, won't play tonight. Phoenix actively engaged with several teams in trade talks for Bledsoe, hoping to find a deal soon. Warriors star Steph Curry fined $50,000, but not suspended for throwing his mouthpiece in the direction of an official on Saturday. Eagles-Redskins Monday Night Football. Washington's won five of its last six versus Philadelphia, but Redskins QB Kirk Cousins has never won a start on Monday Night Football. He does have some challenges against the Eagles' D, points out ESPN's Lewis Riddick.
Going up against one of the best front sevens, one of the best set of linebackers, and one of the best set of safeties in the National Football League. Now, they do have some chinks in their armor, that being the Philadelphia Eagles, being on the corners. Look for them to try and attack down the field outside the numbers.
Monday Night Football, 8:20 Eastern on ESPN. Browns tackle Joe Thomas says he will probably have season-ending surgery on a torn triceps tomorrow, is unsure about his long-term future. Real Madrid's Cristiano Ronaldo won FIFA Player of the Year for a fifth time.
See for yourself why buying a business trip at Upside.com is a triple win. Use code BAMANI and you'll get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com.
The Home Depot now has LifeProof vinyl plank flooring starting at just $279 a square foot. The warm look of wood flooring with a surface that's tough, scratch resistant, and completely 100% waterproof. So, if life brings you things that scratch or things that spill, you'll be completely 100% worry-proof. And that is a beautiful feeling. LifeProof vinyl plank flooring starting at only $279 a square foot. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time, and now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in, with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
If you've got the drive, you need the tires that'll go the distance. Get $60 by mail on a Firestone Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of four eligible tires. Increase your reward to $100 with a qualifying tire purchase using your CFNA credit card. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid through November 12th, subject to credit approval. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank, member FDIC, and can be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Bancorp Bank is not affiliated with CFNA.
Need auto parts? Get them with a click at the new O'ReillyAuto.com. Shop online and we'll ship the order to your home, or you can pick it up for free at the O'Reilly Auto Parts store nearest you. The choice is yours. Shop the way that's convenient for you and get the exact parts you need to get the job done right. O'ReillyAuto.com. Parts for your car wherever you are.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
4:36, welcome back to the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on all three KGYM frequencies until 7 o'clock tonight, 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. We've had a couple people asking about a KGYM staple. It is the Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats, and it will be back, and it will kick off at some point this week. I'm currently finalizing how we're going to do the voting and the bracketology, if you will, behind the event. Past winners have included Good and Plenty and Bitto Honey, and we'll see which treat takes the crown in this year's Tournament of Bad Treats. It's coming up later this week. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the top 25-ranked Iowa State football team, joining us now on the program. And when we're done with this segment, we're going to give away a couple tickets to the TCU game, courtesy of Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner and the sponsor of John's appearances with us each week. We thank Craig for those tickets. So Iowa State fans, if you don't already have them and they are available, you can still get to the homecoming game by buying your tickets, but we've got your chance to win them. John, how good does that sound hearing the top 25 ranked Iowa State football program?
Well, that's a good feeling. It's been a while, and the team in 2012 was ranked in the coaches poll, so it's a little bit deceiving that it's been that long. But they didn't make it into the AP poll that year. But the AP poll, it's been significantly longer, and so it's nice to finally get back in that top 25. It does bring some attention to your program. I know Matt Campbell kind of downplayed it today, and I totally understand that from his perspective, but it is good for Iowa State to be a little bit more in the limelight with its football program. It certainly can't hurt recruiting, and it's a reflection that things are going well, so that's always a positive.
You kind of touched on that next question, what it means for the football program. But I'm going to ask you about John Haycock's group, the defensive group. We talked about it after the Texas game, the game plan that he drew up, and Tom Herman really applauded the job that he did. But this is becoming a trend. Iowa State's defense, yet another good performance against a Texas Tech explosive offense.
Yeah, and I think as you face a lot of these spread offenses in the Big 12 Conference, it's nice to be able to have that at your disposal and play it well, that three-man front. And again, I'll continue to say this till the day I die. The reason that it's working is because Ray Lima is such a disruptive force in the middle. And I don't know, if he's going to get voted all Big 12 or not. If I had a vote, boy, he certainly would be on my ballot. But he is the biggest difference maker, the most unsung hero, I think, in this Iowa State program. When you talk about a guy that's come in and just made an immediate impact because he allows them to play that three-man front. There were times against Texas Tech where Iowa State had three guys on the line of scrimmage, and then it was 7 yards before you saw another Cyclone. And yet they were still able to get 10 tackles for loss. They kept things in front of them. They really flew to the football. And that's been a staple of Matt Campbell's teams. Even going back to Toledo, was 11 guys flying to the ball, and that's something you're really seeing is a lot of effort defensively. And but guys understanding the roles and being in the right place and getting lined up before the ball snapped where they need to be, and all those things add up. And Coach Campbell calls it doing the unremarkable things remarkably well, and that's what this defense has done. And it's allowed them to tackle well and to be in a position to win games. And that's the thing. If you start looking historically, the ranking is one thing, but start looking back through the years at where Iowa State's ranked in rush defense and scoring defense and total defense. And, they haven't been very high. Even in their best years, they haven't been able to get up there way high in the conference in those departments. But right now, TCU and Iowa State are 1-2 in whatever order. In those three categories, and so it's fun to see that, and leads to a big showdown on Saturday for sure.
And speaking of defensive efforts, nice to see Marcel Spears honored as the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. How much has he meant to the team over the last couple weeks?
Enormous. I mean, just especially because nobody outside the program really saw it coming. I mean, I think the assumption a year ago was that, okay, Willie Harvey returns at linebacker, and that's about it. What will Iowa State do there? Well, the experiment to move Joel Lanning has paid off way better, I think, than anybody could have possibly imagined. And then the other part of it was, Willie moved over from from Will linebacker to Sam linebacker to make room for Marcel Spears at that Will linebacker spot. And Marcel's a guy that, you know, really came on in the spring and earned that job. But I don't think it was on a lot of people's radars, really, even though he was listed as a starter coming into the season. I don't think anybody expected great things out of him necessarily. But here he is, I believe, fourth in the Big 12 in tackles, among the leaders in fumbles forced, fumble recoveries, you name it. And they had that pick six against Texas Tech. He has played really, really well. And he's just a young player still, but very intelligent. And that's what's exciting is so many of these good players that are playing well right now are young guys that are going to be back, and he's definitely one of them that's going to be a leader for this team going forward.
I think coming into the season, we were just wondering what this defense would look like. You knew there was going to be some improvement. You just didn't know how much. Is it safe to say after a four-game Big 12 sample size that this is an upper echelon Big 12 defense?
Well, it seems that way. I mean, there's a long way to go and a lot of great offenses still to face, including this Saturday. But it sure is trending that way. And that's really pretty remarkable because I 100% agree with what you said to preface that question. I think coming into the season, a lot of people thought, well, this has a chance to be one of the best offenses that Iowa State's had. Because you looked at the wide receivers returning, David Montgomery back, Jacob Park a quarterback, and I think a lot of people just assumed, hey, this has a chance to be a really good offense. Not many people were talking about the defense, and that's the area where Iowa State has just grown and grown and grown as the season's gone on. You've seen every week that defense gain confidence and look sharper and sharper, and you know. You go back a week ago to land Joel Lanning on a midseason All-American team, a guy that's played six games at the position. Marcel Spears, a Big 12 Player of the Week. Nobody was talking about Marcel Spears before the season. Look at what Ray Lima's doing. Look at what J.D. Wagner's doing. He's having a tremendous year. Jaquan Bailey. There's a lot of guys that are playing the best football of their careers by far, and it's just fun to see it kind of unfold because it's not a thing about individuals, really. It's more about a team, and they're just kind of doing their jobs and staying in their lanes and doing what they're supposed to do and keeping assignments sound. And the result of it ends up being that everybody looks good. And that's what Iowa State has done recently with their defense. And it's just been a lot of fun to watch.
John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joining us every Monday, brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner. And we've got two tickets to the TCU homecoming game this weekend at Jack Trice Stadium. We'll be giving those away at the end of the segment. Speaking of the Horned Frogs, what do you think the biggest challenge is this week for Iowa State as they prepare for another top five team?
I think the biggest challenge is the fact that Iowa State's strengths are TCU's strengths. You know, I mean, they are really sound defensively. Gary Patterson, if you go back to, many years ago, I mean, Gary Patterson's reputation has always been as a great defensive coach, playing five secondary players at all times, a 4-2-5 defensive look, and playing it very, very well. He started doing it long before a lot of other people did it and long before spread offenses were really in vogue in college football. He was doing this, and he was doing it very effectively. But they're a very good tackling team. They're outstanding defensively. They don't beat themselves. They're good in turnover margin and things like that. And so, you know, they do the things that Iowa State's been doing well at a very high level themselves. And so it makes it tougher. I mean, you have to be even sharper at the stuff that you do well and then hope that you can, find a way to be in the game at the end and win it. But TCU is exceptionally talented. I think they're probably the best team in the Big 12 right now. And they're thinking conference championship and more in their minds. But the good thing is Iowa State's starting to think in those terms too. And so getting them in Jack Trice Stadium, hopefully it'll be a great atmosphere. And Iowa State can continue to play like they have been. Because if they just keep doing what they're doing, they'll put themselves in a great position in this game. But they have to keep it up. And that's hard to do. They've been playing at a very high level. But these guys are confident right now. They feel like they can keep it going.
It was Dan Wolkin and George Schroeder of USA Today that kind of echoed your sentiment that you just brought up just a second ago, TCU being the most complete team in the Big 12. You would tend to agree with that?
It sure looks that way when I look at the numbers, and I've watched some of their games. I'm going to continue to watch more of their games during the course of this week. But from everything I see, they're just really, really sound. They're very fast. They fly to the football. You know, they'll get 11 guys to the ball too. And, you know, you start looking statistically at, you know, what people talked about in the past with the Big 12 Conference. Nobody plays defense in the Big 12. I get tired of hearing that. This year in particular, I think you can look at some of the defensive stats for some of these teams and be very impressed, especially with some of the offenses that they're facing. And TCU's certainly right at the top of that list. So, and then offensively, they've got a veteran quarterback returning. They run the football well. They've got very good receivers and a good offensive line. So it's hard to find their weakness. I guess that's the biggest thing, is that they're just really good in a lot of areas, and that's what makes them so good.
John, you know Matt Campbell better than anybody in this building. How is he going to handle having his name thrown around by the likes of Kirk Herbstreit? I thought to this point he's done quite a nice job of deflecting it, but if Iowa State keeps winning, the outside talk is going to grow louder and louder. How is he going to keep that at a distance?
Well, I think, you know, he addressed it really well today. He got asked about it after the press conference out in the hallway. The guys asked him about it, and he, I thought, had a great response, basically saying, you know, it's kind of insulting to Iowa State to think that, you know, you can't have success and want to be here, you know, and it's hurtful at this time. You know, I know it's a compliment. I get it that Kirk Herbstreit was trying to compliment Matt Campbell, and he did. It was a very nice compliment to say that, you know, he'll be in demand. But, you know, there's been coaches who have had success at places that traditionally didn't have a ton of success and wanted to stay. We're going to see one on the opposite sideline this week. You know, Gary Patterson had a million job offers after he started having success at TCU, and he decided to stay right at TCU, and he's got him in a position to challenge for a national championship this year. Bill Snyder, Barry Alvarez, when he went to Wisconsin, the list goes on, and you can even look at Iowa State history. You know, Paul Rhodes and Dan McCarney had job offers to leave Iowa State when they were here. They didn't go. They wanted to stay here and build it here, and so it's happened before. I think it can happen again. Doesn't mean he's never going to leave. What I've always said about any coach leaving is if they make it a better job while they're here, then you wish them well and thank them. But I don't, you know, Matt could have left Toledo several years earlier than he did, or he could have waited when Iowa State sent Jamie Pollard to a visit with him right after their season ending game. He didn't hesitate to come to Iowa State. He could have waited another week and probably had another 10 or 12 offers, but this was the one he wanted. So I think there's some validity to all that. And you know, I'm hopeful that he'll be here for a long, long time. Of course, that's entirely up to him. But, you know, I mean, the guy's only, 18 games into his tenure at Iowa State. Let's let it breathe a little bit before we start that. But I think he's the kind of guy that loves the game, loves the challenge, loves his staff, the people that are around him, and wants to build something really special at Iowa State. And that's really cool to see and really refreshing. And so whatever the outside world tells him, I don't think Matt really cares. And that's been the case game to game. And I think it's the case on this topic too. He really doesn't get caught up a lot in that kind of stuff. He focuses on the task at hand, and right now I guarantee you the only thing he's worrying about is TCU.
It should be one of the more interesting sideline shows tonight, and in a good way. Can you give us a little bit of a preview?
Yeah, we'll have Jamie Pollard on in the first half hour tonight, and then Matt Campbell comes along for the final hour, so looking forward to a great show.
All right, we appreciate it, John. Thanks always for the time.
All right, thank you for having me.
John's appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. You can find out more online, truewealthstewardship.com. A big weekend of homecoming festivities at Jack Trice Stadium. Johnny Majors is going to be back in town. Dan McCarney is going to be back in town. And you can be in Ames for this game. Craig has provided us with two tickets. You're going to need to pick these up here at the station. So if you're close to Cedar Rapids, it's going to be a little bit more convenient for you. But you do at least have all week to figure out how you're going to get here. Caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600. You're going to take home that pair of tickets to Iowa State's homecoming contest with TCU this weekend at Jack Trice Stadium. Again, caller number 6. Those tickets will be yours. We'll find out who our winner is and have another big board update when we return after this. 4:50, you're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM.
Are you proud to pay taxes? Could you be just as proud by paying half as much? It doesn't matter how much is in your 401k if you give half to your money-grubbing uncle. I'm Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion. We specialize in helping our clients pay less and keep more. We can help you too. Connect with us before December 31st at TrueWealthStewardship.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning offered through True Wealth Stewardship, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
At Advance Auto Parts, we offer you the quality parts you want and knowledge you need. And we're always looking for ways to help you save. Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage or conventional motor oil for just $19.99. Plus, find great prices on Advance's full line of oil filters. Go to Advance or participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores to take advantage of this great offer while it lasts. Advance Auto Parts, where oil is priced like it should be.
.453 and a big congratulations going out to Dave in Amana. He is going to be headed to Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday for Iowa State TCU. Big homecoming game and lots on the line for the Cyclones, because if they win that, then it's a lot easier to make the case that the road to the Big 12 title runs through Ames. It's not a phrase. Look, it's not a phrase that I expected to be saying at the beginning of the season.
I have a couple of friends that are TCU alums, and they are shaking in their boots about that game on Saturday. They are very nervous, and that's not a phrase that I thought when I heard, man, I'm really worried about that Iowa State game on Saturday. Didn't think I would hear that from TCU
fans. I think John put it in the proper perspective when he said what TCU does really well, their strengths are also Iowa State's strengths. So it's not like one is going to be able to exploit the other. They both do a lot of things very good, and we'll see. There's more Matt Campbell to get into. We're going to talk coming up in the 5 o'clock hour about Kirk Herbstreit's tweet, whether or not Iowa State fans should be offended, whether they should embrace it, and more importantly, the logistics behind whether or not Matt Campbell would even be interested in going somewhere after a couple years on the job. We'll also talk Iowa football. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is set to join us in just a few minutes. The Hawkeyes, a 17-10 setback in overtime Saturday in Evanston. Mark will give us the latest on the Hawkeyes as we wait to hear from Kirk Ferentz tomorrow. Let's now send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Cyclones have won 3 in a row after a 31-13 victory over Texas Tech this weekend. They moved to 5-2 on the season and 3-1 in the Big 12, and now find themselves ranked 25th in the country, giving them their first appearance in the AP poll since 2005. They'll have an opportunity to make a huge statement this weekend at home, hosting number 4 TCU. And Cyclone linebacker Marcel Spears was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for his play in Saturday's win. The redshirt freshman had 7 tackles and a pick 6. The Iowa women's basketball team held its media day in Iowa City today, the first day of Big Ten Women's Basketball Week, and junior forward Megan Gustafson was named to the preseason all-conference team by both the coaches and the media. Gustafson averaged 18 points and 10 rebounds on her way to breaking single-season records for rebounding and double-doubles, and also became just the 4th player in program history to score 600 points or more. It was announced today that the UNI men's basketball team will be traveling to Madison on November 1st to take on Wisconsin in an exhibition game for hurricane relief. The game will be free admission into the Kohl Center, instead encouraging fans to make small donations to Team Rubicon. Tonight after the show, I'm sure we'll have some awfully excited fans on the Cyclone Call-In Show. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and we'll also have Monday Night Football with the Eagles hosting the Redskins on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
We're going to need a big night out of Kirk Cousins and a big night out of the former Memphis Tiger Jake Elliott if we're going to move to 6-1.
How big of a night?
We're trailing a little bit, and Jason in North Liberty has Jordan Reed as well, so it could be an uphill battle. But we'll see whether or not we can get there. Speaking of Iowa State, do want to pass along the news that was just released, or just confirmed, I should say, the Board of Regents announcing that Iowa State has a new president in Wendy Winterstein. She's going to be the first female president at Iowa State, and it's essentially an internal hire because she has been with the Agricultural College there in Ames for quite some time. So Iowa State has a new president to replace Stephen Leith. And it's Wendy Winterstein. So I'm sure they'll introduce her Saturday at that game. It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be an Iowa State fan, and perhaps a pensive time to be an Iowa football fan. Basketball is right around the corner, and I heard quite a few of those comments among the Iowa fans that were streaming out of Ryan Field on Saturday. And that's just the nature of the beast. We're going to be talking a little bit about it with Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He's going to be joining us next. Plenty more Iowa State talk to get to as well with Matt Campbell. And Kirk Herbstreit really stirred up a hornet's nest on Saturday with his tweet. Speaking of Iowa State, by the way, they've announced that the November 4th West Virginia game will kick off at 2:30. And Iowa's game against Ohio State, a lot of people were looking forward to that. Some still are. It's going to be either an 11 o'clock kickoff or a 2:30 kickoff. We're crossing our fingers for 11 o'clock. Mark Morehouse of the Gazette joins us next.